Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rosini as co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. We're going to talk about the budget, and because we have conservatives in charge now in the White House and in the Senate, so I'm sure we're getting much closer to a reasonable budget. So I guess I'd start off by saying the good news is that the budget that just came out, the end stage, the plan for that is to give us a balanced budget. That's good. Even the Democrats are complaining that there's too much spending, especially when they're not in power. But the whole problem is the good news of a balanced budget is moderated by the fact that that's in 2034, you know, 15 years from now. I've heard it before that it would be in 3 or 4 years out. But boy, they are so bold that Trump said, well, in 15 years, we're going to have a balanced budget. And the whole thing is, I've listened to this for so many years, and and they talk about it, but you know, the truth is they don't really know. They can guess, and everything is a political stunt. What are we going to do if we have to look strong in the military? We put more money in militarization, or if you want to be appealing to the welfare state, then you put money in there. But I don't think they ever know exactly what the revenues are. Right now, it's astounding. The first month in this fiscal year, the deficit is $100 billion. And, of course, that'll take it well over another $1 trillion this year. So the momentum is pretty strong, and the intent is sort of wobbly about a balanced budget, you know, in 2034. But it's a serious problem, but nobody knows about it. Nobody really cares about it, because sometimes, you know, an addiction doesn't turn up soon enough until you really have a crisis. And I think we are. We're addicted to a process of spending money, running up debt, printing money, satisfy everybody, and the conditions have been such that we've been able to get away with it. But somebody said, there's a limit to this. Eventually it will end. And I'll stick to that assumption. This cannot continue. But for now, they're going to keep spending because they came up with the government statistics that everything is all right. But if everything is all right, why are people so angry? That's a big question. So, Chris, what's your solution to getting a balanced budget here this next year?
Oh, geez, nobody wants to hear our solution, Dr. Paul. But I remember very clearly before Trump was elected, this is it. He's a businessman. He knows how to balance a checkbook. He knows costs. That's all gone. Trump is proposing the biggest spending budget in U.S. history, $4.75 trillion. And they're planning on spending even way more than that. And let's be honest, Hillary Clinton could have done the same thing. And if she would have done the same thing, people on the right would be screaming at the top of their lungs that she's a big government socialist bankrupting this country. But now that Trump is doing the same exact thing, he's not called a big government socialist. So it's the same with the two parties. They have it down to a science. They grow their welfare, warfare state. And the only difference is the rhetoric they use to get elected. And that's it.
Yeah, and I think they don't ask the right questions. They talk about the budget, spend money here, take it away here and get it over here, stimulate the economy. But they never ask the question, what is the real problem? And the real problem is spending. And that is what you can't deal with. They deal in politics because they fuss a little bit about who gets cut and who gets some benefit and who gets more. Right now, it looks like the military-industrial complex is running the show because their spending is going up and it's up front. It's out there. It's if you're a patriotic American, you're for doing this because, you know, what do you want to do? Have that next 15 countries in line to have as much money as we have in our military? It's so outrageous on how much we have to spend, you know, on the military. But, you know, the liberals and the Republicans, you know, they'll say, well, we really won't cut the welfare recipients. And we haven't. Trump hasn't cut anything. But in this budget, he proposes that they will cut welfare spending. But, you know, the question that I think should be asked, because it's sort of fundamental, and that is, what should the role of government be? And there's a big difference between the role of government trying to appease everybody who wants some free stuff. And free stuff means the military-industrial complex, big corporations, taking care of the people on Wall Street, you know, and have a monetary system that that takes care of them. So they don't ask the questions I think have to be asked. What is the purpose of our government? Do you think that our purpose is to, you know, take care of everybody? And in order to do that, it's not good for the general welfare if you have to cut back and balance the budget. There would be, philosophically, that's not going to happen. And even in a practical sense, let's say tomorrow they did balance the budget. Let's say we're 20% over, or even 10% over. Everybody gets cut 10% because we know that deficits are bad. There's no chance in the world that would ever happen. And they've been fussing with this for a long time because they come down with the question, with the answer for the question, what should the role of government be? And I guess the very large majority of those in Congress and in the country, well, the purpose of government is to take care of us. You know, give us medical care and education and food stamps and build up more bombs than we'd ever need. So I think until somebody asks a few questions like that, this is not going to be ended. I think it will end, though, when the whole thing busts. And that, of course, I think we keep getting closer and closer. But that is a problem because I don't think we're going to all of a sudden get enough members in Congress to systematically start voting, you know, to reduce spending.
I agree, Dr. Paul. You mentioned the 15 years balanced budget. That is comical because government promises aren't good for 15 minutes, let alone 15 years. I mean, look how many times President Trump has changed his mind. And on this show, we try, when he moves or has an idea in the direction of liberty, we always try to praise it, but we always preface it with that we're cautiously optimistic because we know he's going to change his mind. I mean, just recently with the Syria, he put out this great video praising the troops. We're going to be seeing them very soon. They're going to be home. And now he's 100% for them staying in Syria, Iraq. Nobody's coming home. So a promise for 15 years from now is meaningless. There's going to be a different government in 15 years. It's going to do whatever they want to do. So, you know, we shouldn't waste our time even talking about 15 years from now.
Yeah, and the other thing is, we're more or less talking about what people talk about when they talk about, you know, the budget, how much we're taking in and how much they come up short. But there's so much under the table stuff, you know, the black budget. We never know about it. We never know what the CIA is operating on, these contingency funds, these overseas contingency funds. But when the big crisis came where this thing really was on the verge of caving in, that was, of course, in 08 and 09. They had to so-called rescue the economy with $15 trillion, but it didn't go through the Congress. It went through the Federal Reserve. They were able to create all this money, and they're still worrying about it. We've created this money, and how are we going to handle the ramifications of all this money we created? So it's totally out of control, out of concept, and everything else. But I don't think Wall Street really cares because they're protected. They know that the interest rates are going to be kept low. Especially the Federal Reserve is interested in watching Wall Street. And I guess when you have a president like Trump, he's going to put a little pressure on the Federal Reserve. But they'll go and they'll bicker back and forth and argue about it. But they are not going to crash the stock market. But eventually, though, the stock market will crash and it will come unglued, mainly because it's not a problem of not enough money and not enough bailout, that there's too much and people are losing confidence in the monetary system and in the money. And then you're going to see price inflations despite what the government is telling us. We have price inflation, but they usually hide it. People say, you know, that the prices aren't going up that much. But there's still a lot of complaints, especially people on fixed incomes. They are very annoyed because they have inflation. They don't call it inflation. They just don't have enough money. And F means that if the government would only give me more money, increase my check, we'll all be okay. So that is a big problem, getting people to realize it's not simple tax revenues and tax expenditures, because there's so much hidden that we can't really deal with it with a vote on in Congress.
Right. I'll finish, Dr. Paul, by saying, you know, before the President Trump was elected, he actually said, and it's funny, that he'd eliminate the national debt in 8 years. And the national debt is exploding. Now, what's ultimately going to happen, probably not in his administration, but with the U.S. government, is the interest payments will overwhelm them. You know, it's one thing not to be able to pay the principal, and nobody expects them to ever pay the principal. But when they can't keep up with just the interest, the government bubble is going to burst. So for our viewers, for us, for everyone, we have to remove any dependency that you have on the government, because they're going to have to give the bad news to all the people that are dependent, whether it's a job, whether you have government contracts, welfare, or even welfare that you think you're going to get in the future. Get that out of your mind. Remove dependency. Life will go on when the government bubble bursts, but a lot of people are going to be shocked and hurt by it.
You know, there was one lump sum that contributed tremendously to this problem, and that is the $6 trillion spent in the Middle East, the wars that have gone on since 2001. Now, Trump's partially responsible for that because he's still over there and doing things and arguing about when he's going to change and leave. But $6 trillion, you know, that's a lot. As far as I'm concerned, that's down the drain. It has nothing to do with our national security, and then it's a distraction. So people argue about this, and what are we going to do? What is the problem? Well, there's some still in Washington. Well, it's the taxes are too low. We have to raise the taxes. There's a lot of wealthy people out there, and we even know now there's some wealthy people that know exactly that they've been privileged in a system that protects them through the Federal Reserve, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, we make too much money. You should tax us more." But basically, no. The liberals say raise taxes, and then we won't have to cut any spending. But there's also, they say, will we ever cut the military? No, we're not going to cut the military. But Trump says we'll cut social spending. That is not going to happen. As a matter of fact, just about the time they think that we're starting to move in the other direction, we're going to have a recession, and the revenues are going to go down and expenditures are going to go up. It's all on autopilot. And so the food stamp programs, they won't go away, and they'll keep going up. And right now they've had some benefits because the employment rate has gone up, but it didn't slow the deficit down. But I believe that when the next recession comes, you're going to see not $1 trillion a year deficit. You're going to see $2 trillion. And then then we'll be reaching that point where nobody will want to buy our debt, in spite of the fact that we're still strong compared to the rest in comparison. But there will be a limit, and the market will dictate it. And if they think we're going to live off other people always buying our debt and monetizing our debt, that's going against human nature, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I think we're in for a big problem. Spending is the problem. I've often said that spending is a tax, and they say, well, what do you mean it's a tax? Because if we spend money in Washington, it becomes a tax. It's a tax on the economy because we take the money out. But it's a thing that if you spend the money, you have to get it from somewhere. Sometimes it's taxes, sometimes it's inflation, and sometimes it's a slump in the economy. But there's always a cost to spending. It just comes out differently. So the simple process of saying, well, let's cut back welfare 10% a year and we'll be okay. Well, all I can say is won't happen. It's a dream. I don't know. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that many people in this country believe that we're on the verge of having responsible fiscal policy in Washington. And you have to go along with that monetary policy. Since What the Fed does is a tax, too. They print the money to take care of deficits, and they buy up the debt. So that is a tax, too. And that's something that people would not tolerate because, oh, the interest rates are going to go up. So it is a mess. They're going to limp along like this, but eventually the marketplace will dictate, and there will be a change. The market generally always wants to deflate the economy. But governments and the special interests always want to inflate and try to maintain it. If the stock market goes down, we have to do more, print more money and prop things up and get involved in the plunge protection team. We got to keep it up. So they will continue to do that. But it's a situation now where it's just almost ridiculous. I think they should be embarrassed to come up and say, aha, we have our budget this year, $4.75 trillion, moved up a little bit, but no big deal. But we have a plan here. We're going to balance the budget in 2034. So it just amazes me that they do that with a straight face. But in the end, economic laws rule, and they will rule, and we will have to face it up, and we will have to pay for it. The big problem, though, is the people who really pay are usually not the ones who have been benefiting quite as much. It's the people who have benefited by these big handouts, whether they're in the military-industrial complex or some other thing. But the average person in the middle class will pay for this. So it's a thing that won't go away, and you probably won't hear a whole lot more about the deficit. This year we start off with $1 trillion in 1 month, and who knows what it's going to be like. But there won't, even since this was announced a week ago, there hasn't been that much talk about it. People aren't saying, hey, you know, this is bad. What are we going to do? You just don't hear that discussion. So I think that we need to keep an eye on it because it represents an illusion about government, that you can have as much government you want, you can spend as much as you want, and you can just pay for it. A little bit of taxation here, but the rest you can just monetize. Print it up and run up these huge deficits and have the Federal Reserve there just print the money. Well, that'll come to an end, and then we will have to revise it. Then we may want to change the role for government. The role for government should be protecting a liberty, not to take care of everybody from, you know, cradle to grave and take care of the military-industrial complex. No, that is not the role of government. The role of government, if you follow the Constitution, is to protect our liberty. Then, if we had that as for the role of government, our budget would be balanced at a much lower level. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.